tough day. Clean out your locker day. That happened yesterday for the Titans. We were kind of hoping we could keep talking about this for the next 2 weeks. Unfortunately, it came to an end in Kansas City. Jim Wyatt is on the line with us, TitansOnline.com. I'd rather not start on a somber note, so I'll kind of wait for a little bit later, Jim, to do that, just because I know how important he was to you and to us. But what did you make of yesterday? I want to start with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill not speaking to the media. Did that surprise you? It surprised me.
Well, I mean, I think Sunday after the game, both of the guys talked and kind of, I think, said what they felt like needed to be said after the season. And, you know, I think now, obviously, when the season ends, the questions turn into questions about contracts and a lot of stuff that they're probably just not prepared to talk about coming out of an emotional meeting when guys are kind of saying goodbye for the last time. So everybody handles it differently. I mean, Ryan Tannehill was great all season, during his media availability. Derek, very emotional after the game on Sunday. And I think the last question was about his contract, and you can kind of tell it rubbed him the wrong way. So I just don't think you want to go down that road again.
Is Derrick Henry kind of turned into the Joe Flacco moment in Baltimore? Yes, the Titans didn't win the Super Bowl, but hasn't Derrick Henry kind of forced their hand? I mean, John Robinson has no choice. I mean, he does have a choice, but he really doesn't have a choice, right?
Well, he has a choice. I mean, the choice is whether or not you try to sign him to a long-term deal or whether you try to put the franchise tag on him. I think that's the choice. I mean, as far as letting him walk, I mean, I think that would be tough to do at this point. But, when you got the best running back in the NFL, I don't know that you just let him walk out the door. So I think that the choice is just how you go about doing it.
Were you surprised by the news Dean Pease delivered yesterday?
I was not, certainly still a lot of other people were. It was, Dean did such a great job and meant so much to so many guys, on that team and on that staff. I think he had let people know, before really this playoff run started that this was going to be it for him, and managed to kind of keep that quiet until he walked into the room yesterday. So, he had such a great career. I have a lot of respect for him, just the way he kind of treats his players and the rest of the guys on that staff. And he had a chance to become the first defensive coordinator to take three different teams to the Super Bowl, because he had done it with the Patriots and done it with the Ravens. It would have been a remarkable feat, but just came up a game short.
The last two defensive coordinators here have been up there in age, and age has not even been in question. Once you see their work and how much they've done in the NFL, it has worked big time with LeBeau and Pease. I mean, those two have been fantastic in this market on the defensive side of the ball. So do you think they kind of keep with that theme that's been working? I mean, there are two obvious guys out there, one being Wade Phillips, and probably the most obvious is Romeo Crennel getting shown the door yesterday in Houston, considering that Mike Vrabel worked with Romeo Crennel. Well, how do you think they go about trying to fill that spot?
Yeah, I don't exactly know. I mean, I've already heard some early speculation about possibilities that I probably don't need to be speaking of yet until it comes out of the head coach's mouth. But I'll be curious to see the way it ends up. I mean, I think he certainly has, he didn't find out that Dean Pease was retiring yesterday when everybody else in that room did. He knew, and I think he probably, already had a list or a plan maybe in place about which direction he wanted to go. But I myself, just be curious to see how it plays out.
What about they also lose their defensive backs coach, who's now on his way to Ohio State to be the new defensive coordinator? How do you go about filling that? And was that a surprise?
It was not. I think that had been probably had been discussed and and something that he knew of probably several weeks back as well. I mean, obviously, Keir Combs is going to finish the job here with this team, but reports out of even Ohio had him pegged as being the guy that they were targeting. And so I think, again, that was one that they knew was coming. When you're a head coach, you know, you've got to have list in place that if this guy leaves or I've got an opening at this spot, then these are the people I'm going to consider. And I think with Mike Vrabel, I think he has a plan maybe in place there about the way he wants to attack it. Keary will be missed. I mean, he's a high energy guy, a guy who came into the NFL with a different style than a lot of these guys are used to, but they, embraced his approach and got better with him. So it's those are two big losses on the defensive side of football.
Jim Wyatt is with us, TitansOnline.com. Jim, you referenced the franchise tag for Derrick Henry. Do you believe they would use that tag on anybody else but him? Because they've got obviously a lot of free agents coming, and you would think that they're going to use it for somebody. But do you think it's way more likely that it's Henry than anybody else?
Well, I mean, I think Henry and Tannehill both are the two that the biggest two out there. So I think those are the two you would consider using it on, unless you can get long-term deals with those guys that you're happy with. I don't know that I look at other – there's a whole bunch of unrestricted free agents, a whole bunch of guys that are up. And so they've got options on a lot of guys, but I would think it's either quarterback or running back.
Well, that being said, you know how sports talk shows work. I'll just put it to you this way to start. What is the percentage chance in your mind that Tannehill is the guy – next year? Or do you feel like they are fully committed to wanting to sign him, or are they going to have to weigh their options here?
Well, I mean, I'm going to defer to the GM and the head coach on this one. Obviously when one season ends and another one starts, which is essentially what happens when you lose your last game, then you have to start considering all options that are out there. And so who knows what some of those options might be. I think Ryan Tannehill, obviously, what he did this season proved that he is a guy you can build a team around. And I wouldn't have no hesitation at all in having him be your starting quarterback moving forward. You don't have to worry about drafting one and getting somebody trying to get somebody up to speed. I mean, you got a guy who's proven he can do it, but I also know that the way the GM thinks and the way the head coach thinks, and that's, we can explore all of our options and just see what is available and what the contract, what negotiations might look like. I mean, it's just a whole bunch of stuff to consider.
No question about it. And with that in mind, on Sports Talk Radio, we have the ability to explore all options. So, as you might imagine, the Tom Brady thing came up, the connection with Mike Vrabel. Completely far-fetched, or is there some practicality to that in your mind?
So, we'll see. I mean, I don't want to speak out of school here. I'm sure they'll already begin having conversations about what could happen. I'm not going to add to speculation on Brady, it's just too early in the off season to know what everyone's thinking, and I haven't had that conversation with anybody. Not that they can tell me anyway. Here on January the 21st,
Jim Wyatt is with us from TitansOnline.com, and Mike Vrabel was asked this yesterday, and he kind of answered it. But when you look at the success this team had this year, a second straight year under Vrabel of 9-7, they win two playoff games, go to the AFC Championship. How much of a balance does there have to be of you want to improve the team, but you got to keep some continuity as well, because this group took them so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's that's what they're going to be not battling with, but that's going to be, I think, the goal is to keep your big contributors around. But you know, I've been around long enough to know that that doesn't always happen. I mean, I think every year there's at least 20%, potentially 25% turnover on the roster. I tweeted out yesterday before this whole locker clean-out process started, you know, what was taking place, and the guys were cleaning out the lockers. There was a press conference, and, you know, many of these guys won't be back. I was shocked at how many people were surprised by that word, many, thinking one or two guys are going to be gone from the season. It's going to be, from this year's team, it's going to be, you know, at least a dozen new players on the 53-man roster, if not more next year. You got a whole new draft class. You've got a whole another group of players who'll be battling for spots. I mean, so it's going to be, you know, a significant change, just like it is every year. And, you know, how things go in negotiations and what players might be able to get somewhere else, and not wanting to overpay certain guys, all that stuff's coming into play here once negotiations start. So I think you want to keep, obviously, your primary guys, and I think that will take place in a lot of cases. But, you know, it's tough to say we're keeping this guy, we're keeping this guy, we're keeping this guy, when you just don't know what the market's going to be.
Back to the defensive coordinator for a second. When Mike Vrabel got the job, and he said this yesterday, you know, the first call he made was to Dean Pease to bring him in. You have a lot of times a rookie head coach will bring in somebody, whether they're a former head coach or just with a lot of experience, to kind of help them out. Do you feel like, whether it's the defensive coordinator or another member of his staff, that he still might look at that of trying to have that mentor slash a position coach, defensive coordinator? Or could it be a situation like he was in Houston, where he got a chance as an up-and-coming coach to be a DC?
Yeah, man, I think he'll consider guys on the staff. I think he'll also consider guys outside the building. I mean, I think he's looking to hire someone that he can just trust and turn it over to. I mean, because that's kind of the way he's operated. He's not, you know, I know Mike Vrabel is certainly a defensive-minded coach, and he's got an input really on what happens on that side of the ball, and he pokes in and is involved on the offensive side too. But one thing he's done is he's kind of let his coaches coach. He's let his coordinators do his thing. I just think he wants to hire a guy he can trust, and I think he's, you know, established himself in the first couple of years in the NFL as a coach who's going to do things his way, and he's going to have a message, and he's going to be a tone setter, and he's going to try to make sure guys get better. But I think he's also somebody who's going to let his coordinators do their thing. So I think that's what he's looking for more than anything else, is just somebody that he can hire and he can trust that can do the job.
Willie and I were fortunate enough to work a lot with David Clymer over the years. He used to do a weekly with us on the radio for an hour every week for many, many, many years. And so we had a lot of memories on and off the air with David Clymer. I had to admit yesterday, sadly, that it was really embarrassing for me to even admit this. And I know he moved away to South Carolina after retiring from the Tennessean, but I didn't even know he was battling pancreatic cancer, and I felt horrible about that. I was absolutely disturbed by the news during the Titans game. I was in a really good mood watching the game, and basically it put a real damper on the rest of the game for me. I know that you knew David very well. You worked with him with your time at the Tennessean. What did David mean to you?
Yeah, he meant a heck of a lot to me. I mean, I kind of had it was a tough day for me as well. I was at halftime in the AFC Championship game when I found out. I mean, the half had just ended, and I went for a walk in the press box and got some eat. I came back, and Gentry asked us from the Tennessee and said, "Did you see what we just tweeted?" I said, "No." He said, "David Clymer's passed away," and I just about floored me. I had to sit down and had to fight back tears in the press box because it was so sad hearing that news. I kept up with David. I texted him throughout this process, talked to him through this process, and he was optimistic about beating this and was going to fight it and talked about the treatments he was going to go through and that doctors had given him reason to believe that that he had a chance to beat this. And but then last time I corresponded with him, I could tell he was having a hard time, and I'd not heard from him in probably a week, 10 days, and was worried and was just, again, really sad to hear the news. He was, when I started off at the newspaper, I mean, the whole time I worked at the newspaper with David, one of my biggest things in my mind was not to let him down and not to let the other people that I worked with at the Tennessean down, because he worked so hard to build the reputation of that paper. I saw him in the newsroom, and that's what helped drive me to be the best I could be. I didn't want to get beat on stories. I wanted to make the Tennessean, put the Tennessean on the scroller at the bottom of ESPN. I wanted to do everything I possibly could to help the newspaper, because that's the way David Clymer always worked. And he was a great mentor to me. He was a great friend of mine. We had so many road trips that we went on, and he helped me in so many ways throughout my career. And he had planned he retired and bought a home in Fripp Island, South Carolina, to enjoy time and life with his wife, and then to get this diagnosis and to pass so soon after getting it, it's just a really sad story to me. So he'll be missed. I know he touched a lot of people, helped so many people that came through those doors at 1100 Broadway, and it's just sad, really sad day to hear the news, but really it's been sad the last month or so, knowing he was dealing with that, and I just know how hard it is when you're faced with that diagnosis.
We're going to have Jeff Perlman on at 1 o'clock today, and I got really bored with the 49ers and Packers, and I found Jeff Perlman's podcast with David. I didn't even know that it was out there, and Jeff actually put something out there, and I sat there and listened. He did this about 3 weeks ago, and so thank goodness for that podcast, because, like I said, I was really bored with the NFC Championship game, and I listened to Jeff Perlman's podcast with David about 2.5-3 weeks ago, so if you haven't listened to it, you ought to go give it a listen, and he'll join us at 1 o'clock today.
Yeah, Jeff Perlman's one of those guys. We all sat in the newsroom with David, and he was he was the guy who set such a high standard inside that building of what it meant to be a reporter, and certainly was a great columnist. But he was really just a good guy to me. He looked after so many people and tried to steer them in the right direction. He's a hard-nosed reporter and really a no-nonsense guy, but also really a good guy. So he will be missed. It's hard for me to believe still that he has passed.
No doubt about it. Thanks for doing this as always. Appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day.
Okay, thank you guys.
Jim Wyatt, TitansOnline.com. He is the senior editor for that. That's where you can find his work. We will come back with more here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.